Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is LNP 219, called Failure to Diagnose Cancer, Cutting a Life Short. A Massachusetts man filed a claim against his primary care physician and surgeon for failure to diagnose rectal cancer. By the time it was discovered, it had spread from the rectum to both lobes of his liver. The defense denied liability. This case settled in 2018 for $4.8 million. This is Pat Iyer with Iyer's Insights, one of the twice weekly shows of Legal Nurse Podcast. Dr. Stephen Cohn discussed the standard of care for diagnosing rectal and colon cancer when Kelly Campbell interviewed him for LNP 218. Be sure to listen to that show to get an insight into current thinking about screening for cancer. There are phenomenal costs associated with medical malpractice cases. There's the cost of filing a claim. There's the cost of the court reporters. There's the cost of the expert witnesses and medical records. And for the man in this case, I described at the beginning of this show, there was a cost to him of his life, of lost income, to his family and his employer. There was the pain and suffering associated with dying. Legal nurse consultants provide a vital service to plaintiff attorneys to help them know which cases they should turn down. Did you know the majority of people who want to sue do not have a valid claim? We have a reputation of being a litigious country in the United States. How does that play out? I've asked my plaintiff attorney clients, if you get 100 phone calls from potential plaintiffs, how many cases will you actually take? Consistently, they told me they took about 100 cases. Of those 100 cases, they would select 5 to investigate. After getting the medical records, they decide if they'll retain a legal nurse consultant to screen the case or hire an expert witness at a higher fee to do so. Out of those 5 cases, after doing further investigation, they might take and file 2 or 3. What happens then? 93% of the cases settle. And that's, again, a very important number to keep in mind. When cases that don't settle or get dropped go to court, the defense wins about 95% of those cases, sometimes less in certain venues and sometimes more. Why do those cases get to court? In my experience, there's a couple of reasons that cases get to trial. First of all, the plaintiff attorney's demand may be more than the insurance company is willing to pay, so the attorney takes a gamble that a jury is going to decide in their favor. Or secondly, those cases are defensible and they should indeed be won by the defense. About half of all cases are based on inpatient care and the other half on outpatient care. Inpatient areas encompass hospitals, nursing homes, assisted living, and residential care facilities. Outpatient care includes settings such as physician offices, nurse practitioner-run clinics, same-day surgery units, and homes. It's time to revisit the 4 elements that have to be proven for a valid medical malpractice case. These 4 are duty, dereliction, damages, and due to. I like to use the alliteration by having them all start with D's. During this podcast, I'm going to cover 1 of them, determining the standard of care or whether there was a breach of duty or a dereliction is where LNCs shine. Look at the standard of care that was in place at the time of the incident and not what is in place now. When you're assisting an attorney to obtain policies and procedures, remember they always have to be current at the time of the incident. This gets down to what was the standard of care and how was that standard of care breached or not. The rule is to look at what a reasonably prudent healthcare provider would have done in the same situation at that time. Part of what I did in my business at MedLeague was supply nursing expert witnesses. Many of the inexperienced experts tended to apply a very strict standard. The standard is not what the expert clinician would have done, but what the reasonably prudent person would do, the average person, not the superstar. Was something done or not done that a reasonable practitioner would have done in those circumstances? For example, was there a failure to recognize commonly occurring complications? Another element of this is this something that a jury would react to? Would it anger them? Would it shock them? We tend in healthcare to use black humor. We get a little jaded after a while about the things that can occur in healthcare facilities. I know you've probably sat around the nurse's station and laughed at some of the weird things that can happen. But we have to look at those incidents from the standpoint of a jury. Will they find it to be disturbing or shocking? I'll give you an example of something that shocked me. You are not going to believe it. Before I do that, listen to this. My name is Pat Iyer. As a legal nurse consultant, you play a crucial role in helping attorneys identify medical malpractice cases that are meritorious. There is a lot at stake in a medical malpractice case: the costs, the potential recovery for the plaintiff, and the reputation of the defendants. Using your medical knowledge and analytical skills, you are in a prime position to help attorneys understand the merits of a medical malpractice claim. You can be the light that guides the attorney to the meritorious claims. Along with Barbara Levin, I created online training called Medical Malpractice LNC Case Screening. This program is ideal for legal nurse consultants. In this 90-minute online training, you will discover how to establish the standard of care, how to identify theories of liability, how to use key elements of effective case screening, how to spot case winners and case losers, how to identify pitfalls of medical record analysis. Join us for 90 minutes as two experienced legal nurse consultants and expert witnesses give you insider tips on the legal nurse consultant's role in the complex world of medical malpractice. Barbara and I have combined 44 plus years reviewing cases as expert witnesses. We share our deep knowledge with you. You'll hear about our most memorable cases and what lessons you may learn from them. Get instant access to this online training by using this link, http://lnc.tips/screening. http://lnc.tips/screening. Use the code word listened to get a 25% discount on the training, and you put that code in the coupon box when you're checking out. Let's return to the show. I got a call from an attorney who said that a medical resident went into the morgue and took one of the bodies out of the refrigerator to have sex with an 82-year-old female corpse. The security guards and the nursing supervisor were watching him through the observation window and did not intervene. I think a jury would find this incident shocking. I can see you, you're shaking your head saying, "Why? Why would you want to do such a thing?" But he did it. The case quickly settled. We also can refer to legal sources for the standard of care, such as statutes and regulations. These are the ones that govern how hospitals, long-term care, ambulatory surgery centers, Physicians' offices and many other places function. There are certain standards that regulate practice and federal laws, such as all those laws that govern nursing homes and how certain healthcare practices are carried out. We have no shortage of regulations in healthcare. And because of the complexity, a lot of those are extremely important. It used to be that the Joint Commission was the only agency that accredited healthcare organizations, both in the U.S. and elsewhere. But there are now several competing organizations. All of them have their own regulations, standards, patient safety goals, and other initiatives that help to protect patients. The American Nurses Association also has standards for nursing. There are also a wide variety of other professional organizations for nurses that have standards, as well as professional organizations for physicians and other healthcare providers. The organizations also provide things like conferences, websites, reports, newsletters, and journals. I have found doing searches that they are typically ready to sell their material. Some physician organizations also have standards that address nursing practice, such as in the obstetrical area. There are some states that refer to authoritative textbooks and journals. Authoritative means that literally the expert witness and practitioners can rely on what's in the textbook. It is the authoritative source. There are other states that refer to these as generally relied upon sources. For example, in New Jersey, the word authoritative got changed to generally relied upon. I've been involved in putting together very large textbooks, one on nursing malpractice, another on medical legal aspects of records. I know the amount of time that it takes to write and edit a book like that and get it into print and distributed. Invariably, there's going to be something new or something that's changed by the time the book appears. It's usually not possible to say that every single piece in the book is current. The text you typically rely on when you're screening a case for malpractice is the standard text in the field. You get to know after a while which books people refer to. Journals are peer-reviewed journals. This means they've gone to a blind reviewer, blind meaning the person doesn't know who wrote the article, to obtain feedback that the author can use to refine the journal article. You can find standards of care in many sources. The key when evaluating a case, such as the failure to diagnose one that I talked about at the beginning of this podcast, is to determine what the healthcare practitioner should have done. Standards change based on best practice and new evidence. Your attorney clients count on you to help them decipher a failure to diagnose case. And yes, get your colonoscopy done. I had mine done last week, and the doctor took out a polyp. After you recover from the prep, you will be glad that you got peace of mind. You'll get instant access to our training called Medical Malpractice LNC Case Screening when you go to this link, http://lnc.tips/screening. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. Check out the webinars, teleseminars, courses, and books at legalnursebusiness.com. Expand your LNC skills with our resources. And you can explore coaching with me at lncacademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. Lastly, invest in the monthly webinars at lnceu.com for 2 webinars each month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on LegalNursePodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on LegalNursePodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.